Down Dogs. I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
Welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. This week, no guests, it's just the two of us. And yes, we thought we'd go back and revisit some questions we were asked on an AMA feed back in July of 2018.
Yeah. So the website is dead now.
Right. And we thought we'd revisit. I was thinking it'd be kind of cool to do that again.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they're dead. So we're still here. So we thought we'd be kind of, we'll go back and look at the questions that were asked and answer them now with a, like, 3 years later or 2.5 years later perspective.
Yeah.
Hopefully. All right. So and we're going to read them as they were written. What is the theme of your series, Power Squared?
Do you have any insight into that?
Well, wasn't it about alienation and belonging?
Yeah.
I looked at the answers from last time. I think those were the kind of the themes we were going for. I mean, the boys are sort of feel alienated, and they want to belong, and they've gone to try to find themselves at this new school.
Yeah.
And then they find that they have this thing that still alienates them.
Yeah.
So, anything else you want to add? Theme's always...
Yeah.
It's like, I write it, I don't know what the theme is. Jeez. Okay. Obviously, keeping a presence at conventions is necessary for those in the independent field. But what other ways do you promote your work, and do you have any advice on this subject for any up-and-comers out there?
We promote our work through social media.
Right.
Doing this podcast, doing YouTube videos.
We do a newsletter.
Yeah.
We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Pinterest, we're on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Oh, where all the kids are, of course. LinkedIn.
As for any advice, probably it's better to build up an audience before you put something out, because then more people will know what it is and where to go to get it.
Right.
As opposed to what we did, which is we're kind of doing this whole thing backwards.
Yeah, we had sort of this idea to do a comic book, and we didn't think about having a fan base and that kind of stuff. We just sort of went forward with it.
Yeah.
And we're playing a little bit of catch up. We'll be talking more about marketing in future episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this has not been a great year for conventions, 2020.
Yeah, I know.
And we had...
2021 will be probably not much better anyway.
Yeah, probably not until fall. So all the conventions are... Well, yeah, I don't know if any of the conventions that we normally think of will actually happen. But.
Yeah.
And it's also, if you're starting out, I would tell you to start out small. Don't go to Comic-Con first thing.
Yeah.
Or New York Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's okay to, if you go do the convention circuit, it's okay to do some of the smaller conventions, even ones you may not have thought of.
And you might try to go to your local comic book store and see if they'll let you do a signing there.
Yeah.
And maybe even sell it.
Yeah.
Our local, well, I won't go into that. But, anyway, so that's our advice. Or just don't do it. And read our stuff. There you go.
How would you describe the storytelling style you used for Power Squared, and what draws you to this type of style?
Yeah, Paul, what does?
I don't know what to say with, like, style of storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer that question, honestly.
Well, yeah.
I guess there's, as we've gone on, there's been more of a manga influence with the storytelling style. And in that case, it's because we have a somewhat Japanese influence with this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just putting more of that into it.
Right. Style's kind of
a
like theme. These are hard questions. Why do we do this?
How has Power Squared been received? pretty well generally by the people who have read it.
Yes, it's getting people to actually read it has been the issue we've had.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the second question, building a fan base. But yeah, I think we've gotten, I mean, professional reviews. We've gotten one person's actually reviewed them all.
And
it's been three out of five, 4 out of 5, which is, you know,
not bad for our first.
Yeah. For not knowing what we're doing. I always thought that was pretty good. I mean, we'd really like to have more people read it and react and actually talk about it besides us doing it.
But yeah.
I think the general issues people, I mean, unless they're totally lying to us, seem to like it.
Yeah. what is the most unusual part of your job or something people can't believe you do? Well, I guess for me, it's... as the editor, I not only edit the stories for, I guess, dialogue, but I also do all the editing of the videos and podcasts.
Right. And you also, I write the newsletter and then you edit it.
Yeah.
Make sure I misspelled too many words.
Yeah.
And fix the grammar. But I would say the we do write a newsletter every week.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just hyping like this video, but we also try to do some writing about other creative twins and things like that once a month.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that would be the most unusual part. And maintain a website, I guess that's the other thing.
Yeah.
I have no experience doing that and I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So if you like it, great. There's a lot of little things you have to do besides just, in our case, I mean, we're just writing it. Somebody's drawing it for us. And I know some people are out there that write and draw.
Yeah.
The lucky ones. Because I think it's easier if you could do that.
Yes.
I'm not complaining about anybody we have working for us, but I'm just saying if you can write and draw, then you got a leg up, I think.
Yeah. Who are you and how can people learn more about you and your work?
Well, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankin. you can learn more about our work by going to powersquaredcomicbook.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can subscribe to the newsletter.
Enrolling.
Yes.
At SRCC, which is also on the website. That is San Ramiro Community College, the t-shirt you're wearing. That is where our main characters go to school. And so we thought we'd kind of move a little towards a theme of college.
Yeah.
So you can enroll at the school, get the newsletter, and it'll show you everything we do every week. And then you could also, on the website, go to the school store, campus store, and buy issues and t-shirts like what you're wearing.
Yes.
Mine, this is retro. Since we're doing old questions, I thought I'd wear something old. But you can go there and hopefully you'll find out everything you'd want to know.
Yes. What is the origin story for your two lead characters? Well, they rescued a magical kitsune who granted them superpowers as a reward, but they didn't know about this and these powers until, or understand these powers really, until they were in community college.
Yeah, they were about 7 years old. Taking a walk through the woods, talking about their own situation.
Yeah.
And they heard this cry. And there's actually an issue we're doing called How They Met.
Yes.
Which will tell you the origin story.
Yes.
And give you a little behind the scenes and see kind of Mocha's point of view.
Yeah.
Who is the magical kitsune that gave him the powers.
Yeah. So look forward to that.
Yeah. So that's coming out soon. It's already drawn and written and lettered and ready to go.
Yes. What would you consider to be your favorite panel from your last 5 issues, and what is it about this panel that you prefer? I don't know.
I'd have to think about it. One of the panels I do like.
Does the 2-page splash count as a panel?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We actually have an issue 10, there's a 2-page panel.
Yeah, 2-page spread.
Yeah, 2-page spread. which is pretty cool.
What were you going to say?
Just to kind of get kind of artsy, was the at the end of, I want to say it's 11.
Do you know the issue name?
Well, it's part of What's in a Name.
Yeah.
Part 2. Issue 11. There's a panel at the end where it's Marty and Quincy kissing, and it's kind of silhouette and the, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a nice looking panel. But yeah, the two-page spread's pretty cool.
Yeah. What, in your opinion, is more important, the story or the art in a comic, and what are the reasons for your answer? It's less about the story versus the art, more about how the story and the art work together.
Right.
Because comics are an inherently visual medium, and the art style needs to match the kind of story that you're doing.
Right, and we've been pretty lucky that the artists we have can do that.
Yeah. At the same time, you still need a good story.
Right.
That it's best if one aspect doesn't carry the whole thing.
Right. Okay, I agree.
What was the most difficult thing about breaking into the comic book industry? I don't even know that we've broken in.
Yeah, I always like to say we're kind of like that show on Netflix that you don't know is there, but it is there. You have to kind of find it. It's a tough. I would think getting attention is the hardest thing about it.
Yeah,
getting people to notice that you're out there doing this. I'll say great work, and trying to get people to take notice of it.
Yeah,
and you have to do. People aren't going to just find you.
Yeah, you have to.
As we have learned,
you have to put yourself out there in a way that doesn't annoy people.
Right.
In a way that isn't very pushy.
Right. I mean, I think we're not too much in people's faces.
No.
But there are sometimes, I know I have some newsletters where it seems like I get a thing every day.
Yeah, they wonder if they have like a team, depending on who it is.
Maybe. And yeah, you always wonder like, how did they, like you see a comic book and you go, wow, they have like, yeah, and I know the number of followers means nothing because you actually want people to actually buy it.
Yeah.
But they have like, you know, 1,400 or 14,000 people following it. How do people know about this?
Yeah. Interacting with other people is also a good way to do it. Like if you're on YouTube and you're trying to build a following there, leaving comments on other people's videos that aren't self-promotion and actually relevant to the video can actually convert into subscribers.
Right.
Like, look up Justin Y for a good example.
Okay.
Let's see. Do you have any interest in more mainstream comics? And if so, which characters or properties would you most like to get your hands on? I'll be honest, I don't really read much in the way of mainstream comics right now. I've been more into creator own stuff like Lock and Key or manga like you got shonen stuff like My Hero Academia and One Piece, when you also have stuff like Way of the House Husband that I've really gotten into. But to answer the question specifically,
yes,
I'm still a fan of Deadpool. If I was to actually write Deadpool, I'd probably need someone who's also good at comedy to do that, because Deadpool is a very comedic character.
Right.
Do you have a response?
Well, yeah, it's kind of, I had read some Captain Marvel and Captain America stuff, and I really don't know what you could do with those beyond kind of what's already, you know, kind of been done, I guess. I don't know. You would think somebody like, you know, I hate to say it, Batman seems to have a multitude of facets to him as far as, or universes or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You could probably fit one of those in. Yeah, I don't really have any sort of desire to, at this point, to try to get, I mean, that is where you're trying to get a job at Marvel or the DC, and we're just trying to get this going.
But, honestly, I think the best way to, if I was in charge of one of those you know, big name properties, I would probably do something more like a limited series that doesn't necessarily have to tie into the continuity of whatever's happening, because at this point, Marvel and DC's continuity, despite how many reboots they've done, can get kind of impenetrable with how much information there is.
Yeah, and the other thing is you maybe don't want to take somebody that's like already has movies made about them, because people have certain, they think of, you know.
Yeah.
Those in the sense of the movies they've seen, maybe you want to pick somebody that's, you know, a Marvel or a DC character that's not been in the movies.
Right. But as far as the actual comic, it probably helps that as I said, Batman and Deadpool happen to be very, very versatile characters. You could put them into pretty much any situation or any tone, and it would still make sense to some degree.
Right. They're very, you know, versatile. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What element of your work gives you the most personal satisfaction? I guess finishing it.
Yeah, I like the process. I mean, in sort of the, I mean, it's nice that I get to work with you and your brother on it. But I do like kind of the going as much as we can have back and forth with the artist and the colorist about things. That's kind of, you know, it's really cool to watch it come together.
Yeah.
And have a way of saying, well, how about we do this differently or that differently?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they'd love to hear, especially if they're spending hours on the work. But we try not to do that too much.
Yeah.
And but I like the whole kind of the creative process. I mean, the whole process of, I mean, writing it is kind of a solitary thing.
Yeah.
And then it's but then you get to sort of have sort of a give and take.
Yeah, the collaboration part.
That was the word I could not think of.
The collaboration is interesting and can take what you're doing down a different direction that you may not have thought about
before. Yeah, and a lot of times what I do like is that it will write something, or I'll write something a certain way, and then the artist will say, oh, I got rid of that panel and I moved this here or that there. And a lot of times it makes it better.
Yeah.
So you have to be open to wanting to make it better, and if it's not your exact, you know, or it's too wordy or something, we've learned a lot about the process doing it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's I like watching it get better. I feel like I'm Tony Romo talking about football, you know, getting better and better. But I kind of feel that way. It's really cool to make something better.
Yeah. What methods do you use to draw your characters in Power Squared consistently? I think that's more of a Rachel question.
Yes, and she's not here, so we're going to say, no, we're not going to answer for her.
No comment.
Right, so that's not, yeah, that's we're going to skip that one.
How do you feel about the way Kickstarter is seemingly changing the game as far as self-publishing is concerned? Well, it does give you the ability to fund issues one at a time. It also allows you to, I guess, market each issue one at a time. Because if you're going the Kickstarter route, you are pretty much going to have to do it one at a time, at least until you can find someone who can pick it up. Unless you're lucky enough to just go to, like, IDW or Boom or Image and be like, here's my thing, and they take it. But Kickstarter does allow self-publishers to have more creative control.
And there's some comics, like we interviewed the creators of G-Man.
Yeah.
And they're only right now available through Kickstarters. So if you miss their issue, you can't go back and get it. I mean, I guess on the next Kickstarter a bit you can. But, I mean, some people use that as their way of, you know, figuring out how big their audience is and all that.
Yeah.
People, you know, so, and it helps if you're going to do a Kickstarter that you interact with other people, back other Kickstarters, things like that.
Yeah.
You can't just put one out there and hope people will find it again.
Well, as for how it's seemingly changing the game, it is, even in COVID, Kickstarter can still be a lucrative avenue, depending on how well you do the marketing beforehand, of course. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's a good thing that self-publishers have a way to, again, gauge interest and sell things directly to people, but you still have to be careful.
Yeah, and we did a Kickstarter.
Yes.
In 2019, so like a decade ago. and that was, it was, you know, kind of, it gave us a chance to get some stuff out earlier than, you know, some people got the issues early.
Yeah.
But it was a nice sort of kind of, you know, way of gauging how people, I guess, think about us, because it was really mostly family and friends that subscribed.
Yeah.
But we did pick up some other people along the way, and we were able to build on those. I think Lucas kind of came through that method.
Yeah.
And so you can meet people and then help promote their work and support their work. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's a nice little community if you can get it going.
Yeah. How do you achieve that distinct look? Do you have any unusual tools in your arsenal? That's, again, more of a Rachel question, but as the closest I can get to that,
okay,
is, well, we wanted something that was kind of a mixture of anime and Western art styles, thinking about shows like Megas XLR or Avatar The Last Airbender, so with Rachel, we were able to finally achieve that look more closely.
Yeah.
What got you into writing/drawing comic books or graphic novels?
Well, we'll skip the drawing part.
Yes. As for the writing part, probably reading them and being inspired.
Yeah, and the desire to actually do one.
Yeah.
If you don't have that spark of inspiration, that I can imagine it'd be really hard to think of. You know, you have to think of something to write.
Yeah.
And think about how you can bring it to life.
Yeah. The follow-through is important.
Yeah.
Let's see. What process do you follow to create characters and their personalities?
Well, some of them are based on people that we know.
Yeah, or at least loosely based on real people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're not, yeah. But I mean, sort of Marty is a little bit based on you, and Eli is a little bit based on Trevor. They're not exact, you know. I mean, they have some of your interests and some of your personality quirks, but they're not exactly you guys.
Yeah.
And you have to sort of kind of think about, I mean, a lot of times you have an idea for a character and you have to figure out how to kind of work them in.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, it's part of, I guess, the writing process. I mean, I don't really think about the personality so much. They just sort of come out in the writing.
Yeah. I think it's more like what kind of personality best fits the character that's going to do this kind of thing.
Yeah. And I know that we're trying to always be kind of reference back to the first issue with a lot of the characters come from that, and yes, we've added to it since then, but the one we're working on kind of harks, you know, calls back to that first issue as well. And it just sort of, you kind of, I guess, you know, it's your imagination kind of what would they be like. So I don't know how good of an answer that is, but
let's see. What tools do you rely on in your day-to-day work? Let's see. Microsoft Word, Discord for communication.
Email, Dropbox. Yeah,
email, Dropbox.
You've used the script software.
You mean Final Draft?
Final Draft.
I wrote a script that we haven't done anything with yet, but I used Word for that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to. Okay. Because I know Final Draft has certain templates in there for comic books.
Yeah.
But it's like image and, I mean, it's how they want to see their scripts, I guess.
Yeah. And then our artists and letterers use their own programs.
Yeah, which I have really no idea.
Yeah. I just know Trevor uses, I want to say, Illustrator. For the lettering.
Right.
See. What inspired you to create and develop Power Squared? Why did you choose to write comics? Well, our answer for that is we wanted to do a comic about twins.
Okay.
Because Trevor and I noticed with all growing up that there were a lot of in a lot of like either comics or TV shows or sometimes movies, twins are usually used as side or gimmick characters. And when they are main characters, they're more often than not fraternal twins. So they can have like a boy and a girl.
Right.
We wanted to, and of course there are a lot of stereotypes.
Right.
So what we wanted to do was have a comic about identical twins, have a story about identical twins that didn't rely too much on stereotypes.
Right.
And also showed that while twins have a lot of similarities, they also have plenty of their own differences. So they're also distinct people.
You're not just one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think there was, that was the idea, was to, and the whole idea of having them have the power of telepathy was because people think twins can do that.
Yeah, sure. And I got asked stuff like that all the time. Right.
And then you get the, you were Paul and Trevor.
Yeah.
And I've repeated this story before, but I remember walking, I was with one of you in the mall and someone was, "Hey, it's Paul and Trevor." And it was just one kid.
Yeah.
It's just sort of Sam and Eric from Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. I was actually going to say that.
Yeah. It's sort of, you're not a unit.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of the reason why the boys in the story are going someplace new is because they're trying to get away from being that unit. Everybody, as they grew up, everybody associated them with each other. And yeah. This is a chance for them to go someplace, again, together, but try to become separate people.
As for comic books, we decided to do that because it's a visual medium. And also, it would be theoretically easier to put together than something like a film or a video game.
Right. Okay.
All right, so
how is it like to work with your brother? How do you make decisions and how do you solve disagreements?
Well, it's kind of easy to work with Trevor on this because we're different parts of the pipeline. And we make decisions generally through a family discussion,
yeah,
about what we're doing. We each independently have come up with ideas for stories, and as we're solving disagreements, I guess just talking it out, because we have run into a problem where we edit the script, but we edit the script including the number of panels, but we don't tell him.
Yeah, that's kind of
so bad. We've tried to get a lot better at doing that.
Yeah, because again, as we were saying, the artist will say, "Oh, I dropped this panel, that panel, and mushed these together," and which is all good for the story, and it's keeping up with the script part of it.
Yeah,
and letting him know. I like the fact that it's in house lettering, because if something needs to be changed, it's quick and easy, and he can actually, I trust him to edit something if he needed to.
Yeah.
If it's too long, you know, as opposed to somebody you're not really, I guess you'd be communicating a lot more with letter than, you know, but it just seems easier, I think, to have it in house.
Let's see. How long does it take to produce an issue? How is the process?
Well, it depends on, there's a lot of factors involved. Some of the scripts have been around since the beginning, like 2017 or whatever, when we started doing this. It's been 8 years, I guess, we've been working on this.
Yeah.
So 2017's halfway through. but some of the ideas have been around for a while. When we kind of get ready to, when the artist is getting close to ending a story, we need to think about, get the other one kind of ramped up and ready to go. That's probably takes a couple of weeks to kind of do that part. Even writing the script will take time,
yeah,
and go through various versions of it. It's not like a one shot, here you go. It's great. We have, for financial reasons, kept the artist and the colorist and the letterer to 8 pages a month.
Yeah.
That's kind of so we can keep, kind of, you know, keep the lights on and other things like that.
Right.
So usually it's the artist will do the 8 pages 1 month, the colorist will do those 8 pages the next month, and then Trevor will do his lettering the following month.
Yeah.
And so if it's, you know, 20, it's 20 pages an issue and a cover.
Yeah.
So it's, that's at least three months.
Yeah.
And then probably four. Because I think sometimes the coloring and the lettering can kind of get done pretty close together. So it's 4 to 5 months an issue. Just the production of it.
The process isn't that. As for how is the process, it's not that hard because we've figured it out. The simplest way to describe it is we prepare the script, send it to the artist. We do a back and forth on thumbnails, pencils, and inks, and then when that's done, send those off to the colorist.
Dropbox.
Yeah, through Dropbox, and then when she's done with that, we send it to Trevor to letter.
Right. And everything, and the coloring and the lettering is all really kind of handled through Dropbox.
Yeah. Let's see, what do you hope your readers will take away from Power Squared? Well, I think in a previous question we talked about how twins are similar but different people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess, relatable characters.
Yeah, you kind of hope that they'll come away from reading one issue to want to read the next one as well. So the idea is you're trying to keep the story moving forward, make it interesting, and hopefully people will go, what happens next?
Yeah.
We used to put out the whole story arc at one time. Now we're putting out issue by issue. To try to hopefully build momentum from one to the next. But yeah, the idea, I'm hoping that people will come away with a better understanding of twins, also what they can see where, what stories can, you know, we're not the superhero in the typical sense of a superhero. They don't change outfits, they don't, voice doesn't get deeper, and they don't wear capes.
Yeah.
They're basically kind of dressed like they always are, and they just happen to have these capabilities they can do. You know, we call them superpowers, but they're more like, you know,
yeah,
things they can do that other people can't. And so I think it's sort of the idea that you can, you know, superheroes among us kind of deal, and it wouldn't necessarily, they wouldn't, I like the idea they don't change outfits.
Let's see, how much of your own personality traits have permeated into your work? Okay, I think for Marty and Eli, the thing that's the most consistent with personality traits is that I'm generally more extroverted and Trevor is generally more introverted.
Right. And then I think I'm just more wordy.
Yeah.
So if you see a long dialogue, it's me. But I don't, you know, this, so your personality, that's how you kind of feel, that's how it gets in there.
Otherwise Marty and Eli's interests are generally based on ours, but we try to make it so that they are still people separate from us.
Right. Yeah. You're not.
Yeah, if they were an exact copy, then we'd delve into wish fulfillment.
How do you divide the workload between you and your brother? Forgetting the fact I'm part of it too, but it's okay.
Trevor and I specifically, that's kind of easy. Trevor decided to take up the lettering, and I decided to help with the writing and editing.
Right, and Trevor helped create the whole story.
Yeah,
and he reads the scripts, and he has a. He can say what he wants to about him.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of evenly divided. I mean, that way it's divided.
Yeah. Has anime / manga been an influence in your comic? If so, any title in particular?
Well, you kind of touched on that, but
yeah.
Go ahead, touch on it again.
For any title in particular, I would probably say JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I think we've leaned more into part four, Diamond is Unbreakable, where you have these super, I guess, supernatural situations.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes place in a normal like city or town.
Right. And it's sort of kind of the Archies meet JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah. Well, Diamond is Unbreakable is also closer to, it does go into like murder mystery in the second half, but the first half and actually the whole thing in general is kind of more a slice of life.
Right.
As opposed to the first three parts, which were more like adventure or travel series.
Right. So is that the only influence?
It's not the only influence, but that definitely has the most, like with the one I was trying to write, the issue I wrote for later, I thought more about JoJo.
But it's, you're bringing in some stuff that's not necessarily, it's more Japanese mythology than JoJo.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I think probably JoJo is taking some of that as well.
Yes. Know. We have the Japanese mythological elements, but as for any specific anime or manga
right.
that had an influence, I would say JoJo.
Okay.
What is your greatest ambition for your comic? Readership.
Yes. Sales.
But beyond that, we do see this potentially... T-shirts and...
No. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
We do see... Beyond that, we do potentially see this as an animated series.
Right, and we are kind of working on that as we speak. One of our projects with Rachel, which we discussed last week, is some character design she's doing for what will hopefully be a pitch packet.
Yeah.
And perhaps also an ash can.
Yeah.
So if you subscribe now, you'll get a copy. You'll get issue number one. If you subscribe later,
yeah.
You'll make it. Just well, a who's who.
If an obscure one-panel comic like Tuttenstein could get made into a successful Discovery Kids show, I think we have a chance.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of elements to it that are, would lend itself well as example.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite twin of Power Squared, and why?
I think the answer might be obvious. Well, for me, it's probably Marty, because mm-hmm. he's based on me, so I'm a little biased.
Yeah, it's sort of the question you get asked as a parent of twins, who's your favorite? And the answer is always the middle one.
How much character development should readers expect to see in your comics? Plenty.
I think we've if you've been reading along, you've noticed that they have developed personalities, relationships, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's, I do think there's a lot of that, and it's sort of a character-driven superhero story in a way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of character development, and kind of also, not just individually, but within the tension or the dynamic of the Power Squared group, you know, the yeah. unit that is Power Squared, there is still, you see that development as well.
Yeah. If you were forced to live the rest of your life as one of your characters, who would it be? See previous.
I don't know. If I had to pick one.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It'd be where it's, my first thought would be to say Mocha, because she's got a lot of powers.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't know what it'd be like to be a girl. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how we've made her. So.
Yeah.
The other thing would be Uncle Brian, because he seems not to actually work and still be able to survive.
Yeah.
And live nicely and never have a job. That sounds like a pretty good thing, too.
What do you think most characterizes your writing?
It's good. No. I think there's a lot. I think we've gotten better at it. There is more emphasis on action.
Yeah.
Unless there are some stories that are going to have dialogue and stuff, but there's more, we've kind of, I think, have more action in it now.
Yeah.
And so I think it's developing, if there's a way of characterizing writing.
Yeah.
it's getting better. But anyway, no, it's, how would you describe it?
I guess, balancing story and action.
Right.
When I wrote my issue, I was trying to emphasize more of the action element of it, because I think even though we've made strides in that, Power Squared at its heart is more of an action story, and I wanted to help push that.
Right.
Okay. What would it take to have a Patreon or a print run? For Patreon, I think that would be... We've actually talked about that, but...
And if you want to send us money, feel free. But you have to do stuff for it.
I was going to say, we've talked about it, but I think we concluded it would be better to do that if we had more of a following that would... be more sustainable, I guess.
Yeah.
We have to be in a more stable position where we know people would be willing to donate on a regular basis.
In essence, fund it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that case, if we did do a Patreon, it would be entirely about funding the comic and related projects.
Right. And then to do a print run...
Yeah,
we don't have like hundreds printed at a time, but we do print them.
Yeah, I guess in a mainstream print run sense, we'd have to get Diamond's interest.
Yeah, and that's something that I guess we're trying to hope that we can get through Artith Merrick, who is one of the on-demand printers. They're trying to put together a anthology of some of their stories and have Diamond distribute it, and then that would open, I think, the door to us being distributed by Diamond on an individual basis.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then we would have, we'd try to put out like 3 to 4 issues a year.
Yeah.
So we have a backlog, trust me. That would be something that would, I think, facilitate that, to have a distributor.
As for why Diamond, even though they don't like being called a monopoly, they basically are.
Right. Especially we're not one of the majors.
We're not
Marvel or DC. I think, because they're doing some of their own distribution now.
They were trying to, but you still have to go through Diamond, basically. Why did you choose to write a comic book? Would you like to write other genres?
Well, we've talked about why we decided to write the comic book.
Yes.
And we do write in other genres.
Yeah.
You're working on?
Outside of Power Squared, I'm working on a novel. I don't want to get too much into details yet because I'm on like the second draft.
Right, but what genre is it?
It leans more into sci-fi and romance.
And I'm working on novels that are in crime fiction, using a private detective as the main character in the story.
Yeah.
And we also write reviews.
Yes.
For your blog.
Yeah. So I guess that's analytical writing.
For Trophy Unlocked.
Yeah.
And we'll have a link in to that. But what do you want to say? How to find it?
Trophyunlocked.blogspot.com.
And then I also write a blog about writing.
Yes.
1,000 words a day, which is kind of general. Also Blogspot.
Yeah.
So that comes out. It's called A Week in Writing. And it's what I do. And part of it, I'm doing that as a way of kind of discussing the process for me as a writer with a day job, trying to, what am I trying to do during the week?
Yeah.
And what am I working on? And part of that is to keep myself motivated to do it. And I've done it now for like 5, going on 6 years.
Yeah.
So, and you read that, you edit that as well.
Yes.
So, anyway. All right.
So those are the questions. It was interesting going back and looking at them. I think for some of them, the answer didn't change too much.
No.
But otherwise, I think for some of them, we have clearer answers, especially like in hindsight.
Yeah. And you can find on the website under under media, under interviews, you can find the text for the original AMA feed that we did. So it's out there if you want to compare our answers.
Yeah.
It's there for you to do. All right. So next week, we are hoping to have a guest, Sean Hall, who does Dirk Brody.
Yeah.
Which I think you'll, if you're not familiar with him, I think you'll really like his comic book.
Yeah.
So that'll be next week, hopefully. And so until then. Are you watching this on?
If you're watching this on YouTube, leave a like. If you like this, subscribe if you want to see more, and ring the notification bell if you want to see exactly when these videos go up.
All right. So until next week, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared.